This is a podcast from The Times. Go to thetimes.co.uk.
The Bugle, audio newspaper for a visual world.
Hello, Buglers, and welcome to episode 166, sub-episode A of The Bugle. I'm on holiday this week. I've got a boat to Spain, so as long as it didn't sink, I'm probably fine. But we're not here this week, so instead, we are going to give you more highlights from the political animal gigs that John and I did in Edinburgh last week during John's brief visit back to the country he so callously and treacherously and traitorously shunned.
Enjoy.
How did you get back into the country, John?
He just walked straight past. Really? I didn't even show him my passport. I just drew a square box around my face.
Right.
Said, hey, Johnny Showbiz is back. Yeah. Where's my limo?
Did you paint your face blue while you did that as well? For that helped
me. Andy, my face has been blue for the last 2 weeks, and it's worked.
So do enjoy this, Buglers. Here it is.
So who do you think is the greatest nation in the world? You people, what do you think? Scotland?
Scotland, come on now.
India? India, not after the last 6 weeks of cricket, isn't it? It's one of the surest signs of the apocalypse, isn't it? England being the world's greatest cricket team, the whole thing's going tit-top. Anyway, on the current United Nations rankings, Costa Rica, greatest nation in the world. But that is largely because they've done things like not start illegal wars and not mutilate the environment, and I think that's really rewarding negative play. And I think we need a better system for judging how great a nation is. We can learn from sport, gymnastics and diving. You lose the best and worst marks from the judges and average out the rest. It should be the same in judging how great a country is. A country should lose both its worst atrocity and its greatest achievement, and you average out the rest. So under this system, Spain would lose both the systematic extermination of indigenous peoples in South America, but it would also lose the siesta. You know, would Picasso have been so damn good at painting if he hadn't been properly rested? He would not. And also under the system, Britain loses both the British Empire and the British Empire. There we go. Thank you much.
Now, America deserves sympathy, not condemnation. Now, was that related to that comment, or are you just thinking, no, what I thought 5 years ago stands?
That one's been building up.
Now is the worst possible time to have an empire. The worst possible, and we can help them lose an empire with dignity and class. For a start, a good piece of advice would be for them to steal as much as they can. That might seem petty, but those are going to be the memories that they live off for the next 200 years. It's also how you have nice things in your museums.
Well, actually, on that point, do you not think, John, that the riots have been seriously misinterpreted? And give it 2 months, there will be a Croydon Museum of Electrical Goods. These people are not hoodlums.
That's
they
the
were
point.
Patriots. They were good British patriots.
That's the point. If you ever go to the British Museum, it's basically an active crime scene in there. Should have yellow tape around the outside. But also, with technology, America is going to get judged on its worst achievements. Like you say, because they're even putting websites and parts of the internet into the National Archive, which is a disaster. They're leaving way too much evidence for history of what they're actually like. No other countries have done that. I, for one, am glad that the Amritsar massacre was only captured in watercolour. And there wasn't an awkward-looking journalist standing in front of you saying, oh, a bit of a kerfuffle here. And our main genius was we did what we did in an era where there wasn't 24-hour cable news. We did in many ways, far worse things than the Americans could possibly dream of now, but we did it with that certain gentlemanly swagger. We were more elegantly destructive. We were like Godzilla in a necktie, just rampaging our way across Africa. Excuse me, coming through. I'm dreadfully sorry. I seem to have crushed your entire continent's infrastructure. How shockingly impolite of me. Allow me to make it up to you by offering you all jobs 4,000 miles away. No, I insist. Come with me.
Also, like when Australia, when we go to sort of adopt, absorbed Australia into our empire, we did it through a British sense of fairness. It was the first fair trade deal, in fact, which we paid the Aboriginals, and we wanted to pay them as quickly as possible. So we paid them these little bits of lead, and we're keen to get the transaction completed as quickly as we could. So we paid them out these special long cylindrical metal presentational wallets that made a celebratory bang upon completion of the deal. If anything, we overpaid them.
I think we overpaid.
We did definitely overpaid.
Yeah, they were rolling in it by the end. We really made it rain. But the point is, no other nation, no other empire throughout history has been faced with this problem. Look at ancient Egypt. When you think of ancient Egypt now, you think of pyramids. Whereas the truth is that statistically, most ancient Egyptians were f***ing idiots, pushing each other over, kicking each other in the balls. And yet we judge them on a few tiny geniuses who managed to force other people to build pyramids for them. And yet they're all of a sudden the great Egyptian nation.
Well, I don't judge them on that, John. I judge them on the appalling subjugation they put my people through. But although it did lead to God's best 10 practical jokes. Plagues, as the PR men call them.
The point is, if you actually were around, all the Egyptians did at the time was walk around like this. And that seems majestic when it's painted on the side of a cave. But if you had camera phones and you actually saw people do that, you'd think, what the f*** is wrong with these morons? Why are they staring at cats all the time?
Quite a lot of research gone into that joke.
They loved cats to an almost creepy extent, the Egyptians. And the idea of it isn't that bad. To actually see an ancient Egyptian stare at a cat, I mean, really worship a cat, you'd think, get that cat away from that man. And that is the kind of acting that got Smurfs $250 million worldwide. Yes, it's an established franchise. I give you that, but it still re-injected the brand with life. Shit. I lost control of that sentence and drove it into a tree. I thought we were doing... I'm tired. Andy, save me. The Love Guru. The Love Guru. Listen. The Love Guru was a passion project that went wrong.
That's not generally a legal defence in court, though, to be fair.
We don't care about democracy anymore. You know, the turnout of the last election in Britain was terrible. In America, let me tell you, it's the same. The last election could barely have been more interesting in America and still around a 60% turnout. Ignore that. That's just a bit of feedback that will, in no way will relate to what's about to happen here. Not yet. Hold. We don't get the longer you have democracy, the less you care about it. In many ways, it's like goldfish. What's exciting at first can quickly become an obligation. Let me give you some background to that. I've only ever had one pet in my life before. Actually, I've just got a second. So, Hoagie, that's what. Oh my God. Fact, you know that just turned my blood cold. Where is she? Previously, I'd only ever had a goldfish. I called it fish, and it's what I was. To be fair, I was four. Okay, so the name was the literal description of it, and my little sister killed my fish by overfeeding it to death. You're only supposed to give the fish a pinch of fish food, and she emptied the whole thing in before she went to bed. And I woke up the next morning excited to go downstairs and see my friend, the fish. Fish. And there he was, dead, just bobbing up on his stomach on the surface of the water with a look in his eyes that said, I lack discipline. Clearly, the fundamental part of a democracy is that people have their say. And, you know, this evening can become a series of monologues. You might argue that is literally what you've paid for, but... But really, you know, we should be mature enough as a democracy to tolerate discussion. So there's lots going on in the world at the moment. I thought it might be nice just to have a little discussion. So, what's your name?
My name's Mike.
Hi, Mike. That's great. So, that's great, Mike. Nice to meet you. Mike, what do you do for a living?
I'm a florist.
A florist?
Yeah, florist.
A florist, that's great. What's your favourite flower?
Stop belittling my work.
Doc. Sorry. That's fair. So, Mike, as a florist, I'm interested to know, what do you think Britain should be doing regarding Libya at the moment?
Well, as a florist, John, I think it's important to establish order as quickly as possible.
All right.
Then withdraw without repeating the mistakes of the past by trying to install a puppet government without popular support. I just think it's really imperative that free and fair elections are staged as soon as is practical, straight away.
Right, just because as a florist, I thought you might just want to kind of put Tripoli in a vase of water, otherwise it would wither and die.
That's not what we florists think at all, Tom.
Okay, that's fair enough. The lady over there, what's your name?
My name's Claire.
Hi, Claire.
I work in data entry, and John, I think Mike the florist is thinking criminally short-term about Libya.
Oh, that's interesting, Claire.
No, I'm generally against war, as are all data enterers, right. But I think that having helped the rebels in Libya, we've got a duty to stay the course and help establish a democracy for them.
That's an interesting point, Claire. Mike?
No, I think we've seen in Iraq and Afghanistan how risky it is to get sucked in. I can only see us inflaming the situation if we don't
Okay,
Libya.
Well, that's an interesting point. No, it's based on discussion. Yes, the man with his hand up right at the back there.
Hi, I'm a retired postman called Wes, and let me tell you, I am fed up of hearing people knock the way that we behaved in Libya. Saddam was an evil man, and we've done the people of Libya a great kindness in removing him.
Wes, Saddam was, that's a different country. That was a war. This isn't. What are you talking about, Wes?
Well, it's easy for you to say that, John, but you've got no proof of that.
What? Wes, I'm sorry. I know. What are you, the f*** are you talking about, Wes?
Well, to be honest, it was this kind of view that made me have to retire from the postal service, John. They just couldn't handle it.
Is it dark, Wes? Are you struggling to read the script? It seemed like you stumbled over a word there.
What, mate? I'm an instinctive conversationalist.
So I'm sorry, Wes. You're right. Yeah. You're right. Anyone else, Wes?
Can I just say hello to my husband, Peter, and my daughter, Rosie, please?
Now is not really.
Who are currently serving with the NATO troops helping in Libya?
Okay, yes, sure, by all means.
Ah, she stitched you up there, John.
All right, f*** you, Wes. This is actually a lot more difficult than it looks.
Yeah, good comeback.
All right, Mike, thanks for helping out, but it's not going to...
Look, John, you're not treating this issue with the seriousness it demands.
You're right, Claire. Let's get this discussion back on track. Thank you. Claire, as a data enterer, do you think we're culpable in some way for the mass arms dealings that we did with Gaddafi? And are we going to be made to answer for that by the Libyan people?
Well, myself and the other data enterers in my office,
yeah,
we think all arms deals should be judged on a case-by-case basis.
Come on, Claire, that is just a recipe for
chaos. Mike, you've had your say.
Mike, that is just typical of you florists. The situation is far too complicated to back yourself into a corner by sticking to absolutist rules.
Okay, Claire.
You're dodging the f***ing question,
easy.
Claire.
I'm not, Mike. Shut your data entering first.
Hey.
No, I won't do that, Mike. I just don't see the benefit in tying yourself to a single solution to widely differing problems.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. So, thank you very
much. I think I've got a lot of support in the room for that as well. Not from us in the postal service, you f***ing haven't.
As a working mother of four, let me have my say.
Wes.
I think Tony Blair should be knighted for what he's done for the Falkland Islands.
He's not been Prime Minister.
Why is an outrageous thing to say?
Stick it up your ass, you frigid lesbian hippie.
Wes, that is not acceptable.
No, Wes, that's completely out of order. She can live how she wants to live, you fat f***ing northern twat.
That's a nice gesture, but it's horribly
expressed. Thanks for sticking up for me, Mike.
No problem, Claire. Okay. That's no way for anyone to speak to a data enterer.
That's right, Mike.
Mike, you botanical f***er, I'm going to f***ing kill you.
Easy, Wes.
I'm going to f***ing kill you.
Easy. Well, I think we've all learnt the limitations of human discourse there. Is there anything anyone else would like to say before we go into the interval?
Oh, hi.
Over here. That's very brave.
Over here in the corner, John. I'm Patula Wall from near Falkirk.
Are you?
And as a part-time librarian, I think that Afghanistan is now overdue and should be returned. Otherwise, the United Nations should issue a very large fine.
Them's fighting sounds, Petula.
Nay bother, wee laddie.
No, So that's it. Please enjoy the interval. We'll be back again in 10 minutes.
A quick quiz question now to help you pass the interval. And the subject is US politics. Between what did medium-caliber US President Lyndon Johnson claim to know the difference after hearing a speech by Richard Nixon? Was it A, between good and evil? B, between chicken shit and chicken salad? C, between strawberry milk and human milk? Or D, between the Beverly Sisters? They all look the same but pulled different faces whilst Nixon was talking. A, B, C, or D? The answer will follow shortly. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are stuck for something else to see on the Edinburgh Fringe, I can recommend a couple of shows. In particular, go and see the latest Hollywood celebrity sampling the delights of the Edinburgh Fringe. Reese Witherspoon is playing the role of Mrs. Everton in Clive, Legend of the Bays, a musical based on the TV career of snooker commentator Clive Everton, who will play himself in the big-budget spectacular at the Assembly Rooms. Libretto by Quentin Tarantino, music by 1997 world champion Ken Doherty. Also featuring Daniel Day-Lewis as Willie Thorne. Or you might like to go and see the new musical at the Pleasance, Cats What I'm Talking About. The new hit musical based on the hit musical Cats, in which two women on each other's hen nights go to watch Cats, then sing the songs from Cats as they reminisce about watching Cats on the train home. The show is sold out for the next 12 years. And the answer to your quiz question was B. He said he could tell the difference between chicken shit and chicken salad. And if you got the answer to that question right, you win the right to impersonate Lyndon Johnson for the next 24 hours. Ladies and gentlemen, your interval is now over. If you've not had enough interval, you're going to have to wait until the end of the show when there will be a supplementary interval lasting until the start of tomorrow's show. But please now welcome back to the stage your joint compers. Firstly, the Gandhi of gags, the Mandela of mirth, the Stalin of satire, the Hitler of hilarity, the monster himself, John Oliver, and with him, Andy Zaltzman. What f***ing country do you think you're in? Have some f***ing decorum. Oh, shake their f***ing hands, John.
Holy shit. I've had nightmares like this. Oh. Bit of fun.
Bit of harmless fun. Bit of harmless fun. So,
welcome back.
Yeah, well, how was the interval? Yeah,
out. Cue for the gents.
Cue for the gents. What, as in a snooker cue? Or a...
You set him up, he'll spike him, Mike. Volleyball, that's not a cultural reference. That's for everything. I could have said touchdown, but I didn't, because I thought it's later, you're going to get more antagonised. But still.
So are you Middle East fans? Who's a Middle East fan? You like Middle East? You have a bit of Middle East, don't you?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Whose side are you on, generally?
America.
Because it's a very complicated situation in the Middle East, and I'm a lapsed Jew, second generation lapsed Jew.
And I think, Andy, to say lapsed is to stretch the term lapsed. You are pretty... You're a shit Jew. And I talk as someone, just for context, I'm not actually Jewish. I just like the look. I love what Jews have done with their facial features. And I've tried to emulate that as much as I can since puberty. And I think it's gone excellently.
You could take it a few steps further. You could twizzle up.
It's a rock solid bit, Andy. Pound it out. We're back, Andy. We're back. Like we've never left.
So I'll just try and give you a quick rundown on the Middle East, because it's very, very complicated, because of my Jewish background.
Yes, it is. Another understatement.
I'm just trying to explain. Yeah. I'm trying to explain it for these people who don't know as much about it as I do, because I'm Jewish. So, because it's a huge economy. You don't know anything about it. And I will explain it
I will explain it okay. because I am Jewish. So I'll just try a very complicated situation. I'll just explain it for you. 6,000 years ago, God promised it to us. Case closed! How did that become so f***ing complicated?
Well, it's interesting because I saw recently there was a UN Middle East Peace Summit at the UN. And President Obama, and I guess it's a perfect place.
Good place.
President Obama, I guess my key question regarding President Obama is, will America get the change that America forced him to promise them? We don't know. But regarding that, he was sitting at a table between Netanyahu of Israel and Mahmoud Abbas of Palestine. And he had a look in his eyes I've only ever previously seen on the face of a frustrated zookeeper who is just tired of trying to convince two pandas that hate each other to mate. Come on, Ling Ling, it's for the future of your f***ing species. Let's each think of five things that we like about the other panda and try to move forward from there. Democracy is like a tambourine. Not everyone can be trusted with it.
I think that Stalin of satire might be an appropriate call. But Benjamin Netanyahu said an incredible thing. After the Gaza aid flotilla incident last year. Now, I know the Israeli military have never fully mastered the delicate arts of public relations. Oh, away from the school. Right. But I think even by their standards, storming an aid flotilla and killing loads of aid workers was a definite PR blooper. And they blooped. And Netanyahu said afterwards, he said that Israel had no choice but to do what it did. No choice. Now, you probably think that's an obvious and outright lie, but he's a fellow Jew, so I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Provided that he's prepared to give me the benefit of the doubt when I tell him that I had no choice but to have a bacon sandwich this morning. Because there was bacon in my fridge and there was bread in my bread bin. What else the f*** could I have done?
Wow. And that was Zaltzman After Dark.
Oh, yeah.
Let's bring it down and get it real.
Where did that voice come from?
Just so maybe I'll come over to the States to work on radio, the late night talk show. Phone in show.
Yeah. What, you're going to present a blues show with a voice like that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, mama, take me home.
Nighttime is the right time for making love.
And now the latest cricket scores.
Aren't microphones fun? So, but, of course, being a lapsed Jew, I know all the loopholes. I know, for example, that bacon is kosher if you eat it ironically. So, what about the look in your eye? So, but I'll tell you who I blame for the state of the Middle East, John. I blame God for the state of the Middle East.
Wow.
Because, you know, God's... He's not really said anything about the Middle East for, what was it, a good 2,000 years now?
True.
2,000 years ago, yada, 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 full of it. Hence a lot of the problems. Since then, almost nothing. When he does send things, right when he told your president, George W. Bush, to invade Iraq, your president now. Yeah.
You notice I didn't argue with you, yes.
I've seen your green card, John. I've never seen a more tersely worded letter of resignation.
You drove me away!
You already had your foot on the accelerator. We just filled it with petrol.
Oh, that's it. There'll be more extra stuff next week.
This is a podcast from The Times. Go to thetimes.co.uk.